like to move now to our next presenter, who is joining us from the campus at Montana State University. Eric Belasco is an assistant professor at Montana State University in the Department of Agricultural Economics and Economics. There, in the department, he teaches courses in futures and options, as well as the economics of agricultural business. Eric earned his Ph.D. and M.S. degrees in economics from North Carolina State University and his bachelor's degree in economics from St. Mary's College of California. The bulk of his teaching and research involve risk management, marketing, crop insurance, and agricultural policy. Eric, thank you again very much for joining us today. We look forward to your comments on the livestock disaster programs.
Well, thank you very much, John, and it's great to be here. I think, you know, both of these programs have gone through substantial changes, you know, in recent years, so I think it's great to kind of flesh these out. So I think it's a great program you guys are putting on. And just like Brian said, with the dairy programs going through substantial changes with this farm bill, I'd say the livestock disaster programs really went through substantial changes in 2008 and then have shifted the programs a bit with this current farm bill. There are some things that we'll talk about in terms of expanding the program and then also in terms of sort of refining some small details in there. So we're going to talk about the Farm Bill Livestock Disaster Programs here. And just kind of an outline, what I'll basically do is talk in general about these programs and, you know, the 2008 Farm Bill and what's the 2014 Farm Bill, and then go into a little more detail about each of these three livestock disaster programs, and then leave some time for questions at the end. So, you know, as many of you know, the 2008 Farm Bill came out with essentially five disaster programs. The three that are most relevant for livestock producers are listed here: the Livestock Forage Disaster Program, Livestock Indemnity Program, and then the Emergency Assistance Program known as ELAP. In addition to those, there were two more programs that were not relevant really for livestock producers, but they came under the same title here, and they were the SURE program, which was terminated in this farm bill, and then the tree assistance program, which is still intact, but not relevant for most livestock producers. Each of these three programs, I think, indicate a shift in farm bill policy towards more of a, you know, disaster-related safety net for ranchers. And so, you know, all three of these programs, you know, like the dairy program, are sponsored through the FSA. So, you know, my conversations with folks at FSA has been, you know, we'll talk about questions about, you know, documentation for example, for the livestock indemnity program. And the advice I've been given from them is just to, you know, contact local FSA offices for a lot of those things. Still kind of fleshing out some of the details, although I'd say this is probably a bit further along than the dairy program. I think there are some questions, but most of this is in the Farm Bill. These programs exist under the Supplemental Agriculture Disaster Assistance Program within Title I. And as many of you know, these programs expired at the end of 2011 as the 2008 Farm Bill expired. So, you know, one big question we'll get to is, you know, what happens for losses that occurred in 2012 and 2013. And so, you know, we have this new Farm Bill, the Agricultural Act of 2014, made some adjustments to these three programs, certainly refunded each of these programs, also refunded them retroactively going back to October 1st, 2011, which allows for losses that occurred since then up till now to be part of this. So these rules would apply to, you know, 2012, 2013. And the program is supposed to begin here on April 15th, which is much quicker than I think we're used to seeing these programs get enacted. You know, but given, you know, I'll show the drought monitor map here in a little bit. You know, just given the severity of some of the droughts that have occurred, you know, what's happening in California right now, you know, what happened with, you know, Winter Storm Atlas in South Dakota last year, I think there's a lot of push to get these programs started. And so beginning on April 15th, producers will be able to make some of those claims going all the way back to 2011. And just some estimates from Secretary Vilsack have said that, you know, he anticipates about $100 million going to California ranchers, and then over a billion nationwide, and that would be for, you know, each one of those programs. All these claims are, again, made through the local FSA office. The big change, I think, in these programs is that these livestock disaster programs are made permanent under the new Farm Bill. So, if, you know, when this next Farm Bill expires, these programs will continue so that we don't run into the same issue that we have here, where there's questions about, you know, what happens when there isn't a policy in place. One of the other major changes that occurred was the total amount of disaster assistance received was increased to $125,000 per person. I think it was $100,000 before. And so this hasn't been really a binding limit very frequently, but, you know, if you're in an area that has experienced above-average death losses under LIP, and then maybe is in an area where there's a severe drought, you know, you could be getting up to that $125,000. So, again, that hasn't been a binding constraint in the past, but, you know, given the severity of some of the drought out there right now, that could be. So here, again, I'm just going to talk about these programs very quickly and then go into them each in more detail. First, the Livestock Forage Disaster Program provides compensation to producers who have suffered grazing losses due to qualifying drought or fire on federally managed land. And so LFP, you know, you should know pretty easily if you are if you qualify for some of these payments. We'll talk about the U.S. Drought Monitor, and the FSA has some nice tools on their website to look and see if you're in a county that does qualify for some of these payments. On the drought side, you know, this is all going to be based on the U.S. Drought Monitor. The LIP program, Livestock Indemnity Program, this is going to provide compensation to livestock owners for death losses in excess of normal mortality due to adverse weather or attacks by animals reintroduced into the wild by the federal government. And so that second part is the is new in this farm bill. So, you know, in my part of the country, you know, wolves, especially with some of the smaller livestock, is an issue. And so that would be covered under the Livestock Indemnity Program, as well as what it's covered before due to adverse weather. So, for example, in South Dakota, those losses, you know, due to that Winter Storm Atlas would be covered also under LIP. And then ELAP is the third program. You know, I think of it as kind of serving two components. It's sort of the catch-all for things not covered by LFP or LIP. But then it's also going to cover some other areas, honeybee production, farm-raised fish, and then also fire on private land. The key point here is that payments will only be made for one or the other of these programs. So, you know, you cannot collect under ELAP and LFP, for example. So, you know, there's no duplication between these programs. And so just a quick look at what these payments have looked like 2008 through 2011. As you can see, the forage product is by far the largest. And this is a product that we'll talk about in a minute. It's actually expanded due to some of the risk management requirements being taken out. You know, given some of the droughts that occurred in Texas over that time, really contributed a lot to some of those large payments. In fact, of the you know, $567 million paid under LFP over those 4 years, about 35% of that went to Texas, and then you know, across those years, so big payouts going to kind of more severe drought areas. LIP, again, remember, that's our death loss program. You know, tends to be a little smaller. If we think about, you know, droughts can be a little, serve a larger area. LIP, you know, we think of winter storms hitting, it's going to be a much smaller area. And so it's a much smaller program, and when it does hit, you know, they can be fairly large. You know, just under $150 million there spent over 4 years. And then ELAP, which has a cap implemented or lowered this year, but the cap here at $20 million doesn't seem to be binding, at least in those 4 years there. And I'll give some examples of some payouts that have happened under ELAP in the last few years. So just, you know, to look at a map of where some of these payments have been, Livestock Forage Program, you know, before I was here at Montana State, I was at Texas Tech University in Lubbock, and, you know, we had some serious drought out there in Texas, and so you can see that that's where a lot of the LFP payments have gone to. And so skip ahead to the Livestock Indemnity Program. Again, this is over the four-year period. We can kind of see where they occur. So South Dakota, North Dakota, getting a fair bit of payments under that program. And then ELAP, you know, is fairly spread out. Again, it's, you know, kind of a catch-all. And so the payments are fairly small, and it's fairly spread out. So now I'd like to get into some of the details of how these programs have changed over the years. You know, remember, LFP is the forage product which provides compensation for grazing losses due to qualifying drought or fire on federally managed lands. I'll talk about these two things separately. The first sort of important detail of this new farm bill is that the program is made permanent. So, you know, when this farm bill expires, these programs will continue on. The second, I think, large change is that there's no risk management purchase requirement. So there, under the 2008 Farm Bill, to be eligible for LFP, you know, you had to have crop insurance. Either the pasture, rangeland, and forage product that was available through the RMA, or because that was a pilot product, you could also purchase the NAP, or Non-Insured Crop Disaster Assistance Program. Through the FSA, you had to have one of those two. There were some exceptions for new and beginning farmers, but under this new farm bill, there's no risk management purchase requirement, which should expand the scope of this particular product. Just like under 2008, the payment amount, or sort of the way that the FSA determines how severe the drought is going to be based on the U.S. Drought Monitor, and we'll talk about how they specify the severity in a minute. Another thing that's changed is the payment amount is up to 5 months. So according to their classifications, under the most severe droughts, the payment amount will be up to 5 months, whereas with the 2008 Farm Bill, it was up to 3 months. So they've been expanded. The amount of payments have been expanded. The payment rates haven't changed, so 60% of the lost feed due to drought. So we'll talk a little bit about how we calculate these, but essentially if you're in a county where it's determined your payment amount is, let's say, 3 months, then 60% of that cost of feed would be then paid out to the rancher. There's also, on the preceding 2 years, there's 80%. Now, what you need to do for that, though, is to show that livestock have been sold due to drought conditions. So if you're able to do that, then you will receive 80% as opposed to the 60%. So in the case where a livestock producer sold or otherwise disposed of livestock due to drought conditions, the payment rate would be 80% as opposed to 60%. And then in terms of the – so that's certainly different from past years. In terms of fire, again, if there's lost feed due to fire on federally managed land, then 50% of that lost feed is then made out in a payment. And we'll talk about those next. So here's a picture which many of you have probably seen before, the U.S. Drought Monitor. This is the most recent drought monitor that I could find here. You know, as you can see, there are five different drought classifications going from D0, abnormally dry, to D4, exceptional drought. And these are going to be the classifications that are used to determine the severity of drought. As you can see, if you look, you know, D2 seems to cover about 40% of the United States right now, is at least at D2 status or above. And so one important thing to keep in mind is that when we talk about the LFP, or the Livestock Forage Program, the classifications are only relevant during the typical grazing period. And so, you know, you need to look at, in your particular state, for what your typical grazing period is. But, you know, once we get into the spring months, then if we start to see these, you know, this widespread, then we would expect to see fairly large payments under LFP this next year. So using those classifications from the U.S. Drought Monitor, again, the U.S. Drought Monitor, you know, just, you know, uses a bunch of different weather indicators and collapses them into one unit so they can classify drought as, you know, one of five categories. If you're within a county rated as D2, and again, you know, looking at that map, that's about 50% or 40% of the U.S. right now. If you're within a county rated as D2 for at least 8 consecutive weeks, then you would receive one monthly payment. So again, that would be 60% of that one monthly payment. And we'll talk in a minute about how to compute the cost of feed. If you're within a county rated as D3 at any time, so any week, you know, during the grazing period, that would be 3 months. And again, that covers a pretty large portion of the U.S. right now. Four monthly payments if you're in a county rated as D3 for at least 4 weeks. Notice that those 4 weeks do not have to be continuous. They could be any 4 weeks. And then if you're within a county rated as D4 at any time, then it's also four monthly payments. So five monthly payments, so this is the most severe under this program. If you're within a county rated as D4, so, you know, if we look at the map right now, we do see counties in Texas and California rated as D4. If you're within a county rated as D4 for at least 4 weeks, so again, not continuous, but at least 4 weeks during one typical grazing period. And so the FSA will take the severity, and again, if you're thinking about 2012 or 2013 payments, this information is already known on the FSA webpage. Is a good place to go look and see if you are eligible for some of these payments. I won't talk too much about this because this hasn't really changed too much from the last farm bill, but the monthly payment rates are based on essentially the lesser of your monthly feed cost based on the covered livestock on your land or the normal carrying capacity on the eligible grazing land. And so feed costs assume, you know, 30 days of production for a given month, and they have some assumptions about the feed equivalent. Essentially, corn is used as a proxy for the feed cost because it is highly correlated, and because we have a pretty good price series on that. So it's based on the higher of a 12-month or 24-month average as of March 1st. So payments from fire are treated a little differently. Remember, those are on federally managed land, equal to 50% of the monthly feed costs for the number of days the producer is prohibited from grazing. And these payments cannot exceed 180 calendar days. And again, these grazing losses can go all the way back at this point to October 1st, 2011, the day after the last farm bill expired. All right, so that's the forage program. Now we'll talk about the livestock indemnity program. So again, this would be the program that you know, we're thinking of for ranchers in South Dakota from the storm last fall. LIP would have been the program they would have looked to, and now it would be the one. Now, a big issue with this program is going to be obviously documenting death losses in past years. And that's a conversation that's going on now with the FSA, and I've been told that they will release something regarding how they're going to, what kind of documentation will be needed for past events, and that they might treat that separately then for something that would, let's say, happen this year. So in essence, LIP covers two things: death losses in excess of normal mortality. So those normal mortality rates are a function of what livestock you have, and then also where you are. So FSA publishes all of these things, and if you have death losses in excess of those normal mortality rates due to adverse weather or attacks by animals reintroduced into the wild, so that would include wolves and then some avian predators. The other large change in this program is that it is made permanent, just like LFP and also like ELAP. So these programs will continue on when this farm bill expires. Payments under this program remain at 75% of the market value for the applicable livestock on the day before the date of death. So again, depending upon the livestock, the type, the age, the weight, and the FSA has all of these things, you can determine the market value, and then they'll provide 75% of those in excess of normal death losses. So like I said before, death documentation is going to be a fairly large issue here. And so, you know, the big thing that they, this is what FSA has kind of published, that, you know, photographs or video records. Again, I would say the advice I've been given is to contact your FSA office and make sure that the documentation is considered acceptable. And there is some discussion about what to do for losses in previous years. And so I would stay tuned for that. Just some issues on eligibility, because there might be some you know, livestock owners who maybe are no longer in the business here. Essentially, it is based on the date of death. And then here are some of the livestock that are included under this program. Okay, so that includes LIP. Next, we have ELAP, which is the final program here. Again, ELAP provides emergency relief to eligible producers of livestock, and essentially it's anything for livestock producers that doesn't fit under LIP and LFP. And then also losses due to disease, weather, or other conditions such as blizzards, wildfire on private land, which is different from you know, the LFP program. And then as determined by the Secretary of Agriculture. These losses cannot be covered under LIP or LRP. Again, this program is made permanent, and there's no risk management purchase requirement similar to LFP. There was no purchase requirement under LFP under the last farm bill. The annual funding is limited to $20 million per fiscal year, which is lower than under the last farm bill, but again, it wasn't binding before, so that shouldn't be binding moving forward. And then I'll just finish with some examples of eligible losses under ELAP. So, you know, substantial payments have been made due to honeybee producers for losses due to colony collapse disorder. Another example would be costs incurred to purchase feed for livestock or lost feed due to flooding. So flooding would be something not covered under LIP or LFP. So that would be covered under ELAP. Grazing losses due to pests such as grasshoppers, and then also grazing losses due to fire on privately managed land. These things would all be covered under ELAP. And so with that, I will stop here and take any questions that are out there.
Okay, Eric, thank you very much for your insights on the livestock disaster programs. We have received a good number of questions for you as well. I'm doubtful we're going to get across all of these, but some very good questions nevertheless, so we'll give it a shot. First one is, will LIP cover any or all of the current swine disease outbreak that's hitting swine producers in the country?
Oh, boy, that's a very good question. And not really, so I focused more on livestock, but that's a... You know, I would think the disease component, you know, I'm not sure if that would fit under ELAP or LIP, but I think that's certainly a question to ask the FSA office. You know, for me, I'm not sure which one it would fit under.
Okay, fair enough. Next one asks, under LFP, will any drought-affected land be covered or only drought-affected federal land?
So... route, any area in a, within a county. That so it doesn't even necessarily need to be your land, but it's any area in your county that is determined to, you know, under those drought classifications, would receive payments.
Okay, so thank you for that. Next question asks regarding wolves. Will wolf depredation in Washington state be covered under LFP, even though the wolves that are currently in that state were not introduced, but rather they migrated in from reintroductions that were accomplished elsewhere?
Boy, that's a great question. You know, I'm not sure. I mean, the way the language reads is deaths due to federally introduced, you know, wolves. You know, gosh, that's a great question. I think that's something to ask FSA offices, but it would seem like if wolves are in your area due to other wolves being reintroduced and sort of a movement of other wolves, that could classify, although it's, again, it's not clear in the language of the Farm Bill whether that would be covered or not.
All right, fair enough. And, of course, a number of these details are yet to be worked out. So, you know, in some cases we may have questions that are a little bit unfair at this point because it's not clear with the rulemaking still in process exactly how some of that will shake out. But thank you, Eric, for those observations.